What pet should I get? We want a pet. We want a pet. What kind of pet should we get? Dad said we could have one. Dad said he would pay. I went to the pet shop. I went there with Kay. And so we went in. I took one fast look. I saw a fine dog who shook hands, so we shook. So I said, I want him. But then Kay saw a cat, and she said, I want that. A pup and a kitten. They looked like good fun. Now which would we pick? We could only pick one. The cat, or the dog, the kitten, the pup. Oh boy, it is something to make a mind up. Then I looked at Kay. I said, what will we do? I like all the pets that I see, so do you. We might find a new kind. A pet who is tall. A tall pet who fits in a space that is small. If we had a big tent, then we would be able to take home a yent. Dad would like us to have a good yent, but how do I know he would pay for a tent? But what if we took one of each kind of pet? Then our house would be full of the pets we would get. No, Dad would be mad. We can only have one. If we do not choose, we will end up with none. I will do it right now. I will do it, I said. I will make up the mind that is up in my head. The dog, or the rabbit, the fish, or the cat. I picked one out fast. And then, that was that.
So welcome to 12 Stone across the campuses for week 3 of parenting through Proverbs, from King Solomon to Dr. Seuss. And today, what pet should I get? I am the father of 4 children, and I became a dad when I was 26 years old, and now my firstborn son, Josh, is expecting his firstborn. Now, we have quite a span between our first and our fourth, so my fourth, Jaden, is 12 years old. And therefore, when he graduates from college, I will be 64 years old, which basically means that Marsha and me, we will have been parenting, having one child at least in our home for 38 years straight. Which means we have absolutely no idea what people mean when they say empty nester. We don't know what that means. We never will. Parenting is our life. And we have dreams for our kids, for all 4 of our kids, from the first to the last. And one of those key dreams is sitting in your teaching notes. So cross the campuses, put your teaching notes in front of you. Let's jot it down. This is the core of where we're going today. Here's the dream we have for our kids. At the core of it is to become responsible, jot it down, to become responsible adults. Everybody say that with me across campuses, to become what? Responsible adults. Now, I'll admit right off the top, I may not have captured your attention. I mean, you might just be thinking already, that's it, that's where you're going to go. It's kind of a boring word, responsible. You might be thinking, well, when I dream for my kids, I dream of something bigger, something better than be responsible adults. But if you'll stay with me for this whole 35, 40 minutes, I think by the time we get to the end, that you will agree with me, this is a big dream and it's a big deal. And I'll tell you why right off the top. I'll give you one of the whys. Because what is the alternative? If they don't become responsible adults, they become what kind of adults? Irresponsible. See, that's where the power is. Oh, that makes sense. As soon as I say, oh, irresponsible, you're like, oh, I get it. Because irresponsible will blow up your life. And responsible will build up your life. See, responsible is underneath fulfilling almost all life dreams. I think that's why God had Solomon write to us in Proverbs 25. Grab your Bibles across the campuses and let's turn to the book of Proverbs, where we've been sitting in this page 654, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. And here God is giving us some insight. Now, we've been sitting inside this book of Proverbs because it is quotes, quips, insight, wisdom for all of life, from business and finance and economics to family, to marriage, to character development, to the dreams in life, to parenting. And so nestled inside are all these golden nuggets of insight for life and even applied to parenting. And so chapter 25, verse 14, we read, like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. Now, when I read that, you might, huh, what is that? Clouds and without rain? What is the insight here? Maybe it's not immediately obvious. So let me put it in another version for you. Let me put it in the Message version on the screen, and let's look at it. Same verse, Message version. Like billowing clouds that bring no rain is the person who talks big. Is the person who talks big but never produces. Oh, this is where he's going. This is an agricultural environment. In order for their economics to work, in order for them to live, to survive, they need rain. Rain to nurture the crops, to make it grow. That's their hope. That's their future. That's their big dreams. And in other words, it takes the rain to grow the grass, to feed the beasts. All of their economics are based on rain. They do not control, but when that rain cloud comes across, it's making a promise. They're filled with hope. They're like, oh, here it comes. We're going to be okay. And when the rain cloud comes across and then it just blows away and never delivers, that's like a person who talks big and never produces. All kinds of talk of dreams, but too irresponsible to fulfill them. See, once I hit my 50s, I'm what my kids would call officially old, and therefore I have wisdom now. And I've been around long enough to know that anybody can talk big, and people do. But only the responsible have a shot at reaching their dreams. I know that. So do you. Let me give you a picture. When you're young, just a child, you have all kinds of time to play. Like with Tonka toy dump trucks. Here's a picture. Look at picture one. When I was a kid, I had a Tonka toy dump truck, and I saved mine and gave it to my firstborn, Josh, and he played with it. And so that's fun when you're young. But I want you to know there's another picture. There's a dream that when my son, Josh, grows up, that he would become a responsible adult. Here's what I mean. Capable of carrying the weight of responsibility. My dream is that my son would grow up, and instead of playing with Tonka toys, he would actually be the equivalent of a Mack truck who could carry the real weight of a real dump truck. Here's what I mean. Here's a second picture. This is what I'm talking about. He'd grow up, he'd become that kind of an adult, that kind of man. Meaning that when he makes the commitment to Jesus, he would carry the weight of that responsibility and follow through. That when he makes a commitment in business, that he'd be able to carry the weight and the load of that responsibility to his business, to his customers and the like. That when he makes a decision for marriage, he would carry the weight of that responsibility. He'd carry that load and follow through and fulfill. When he someday, should God allow, he becomes a parent, that he carry the weight of the responsibility of that. And as a person in a community and in a country. And you know what's at risk? After those two pictures, what's at risk is the picture we saw as we were driving down I-85 recently. Here's picture number three. Check it out. I think you'll immediately get it. See, there you have the Mack truck capable, designed of carrying a full-size dump truck, and they actually had a little Tonka yellow dump truck strapped to them. It was hilarious. Isn't that spectacular? I mean, we took like 10, 15 people. We chased them down the road. I mean, we're like, oh, that is incredibly funny. It's entertaining. It's funny when a full-size Mack truck has strapped down a little toy. It's not so funny when a full-size adult only carries a toy-sized load. That's not so funny. That's irresponsible. See, we all know that marriage is a promise, a commitment to the full weight of love, sacrifice, and serve each other. But it's a whole lot easier to make it a toy-sized effort instead of responsible. We all know parenting is a major commitment to provide and guide and be there for your kids. But it's a whole lot easier to give it toy-sized effort. We all know taking on financial debt is a major commitment to pay it off, personally or even in this country, or even as a country. But it's a whole lot easier to give it toy-sized effort and whine and wait for a bailout. The load of responsibility. It's easy to make a commitment to Jesus in word, but with it is a promise for him to be Lord and to obey him and fulfill that promise and walk with him in full obedience. And we all know it's a whole lot easier to just give a toy-sized effort to following Jesus. Can you imagine that guy on I-85 that we passed, that Mack truck driver, that hauler? Can you imagine him arriving at his destination and then asking for full pay for delivery? I mean, that would be irresponsible. See, that kind of living and thinking could destroy a marriage, a family, a career, a business, a community, and a country. Because it's irresponsible. And let's not pretend like we don't understand this conversation. Because we all struggle with duplicity. Duplicity is double-minded. Duplicity is contradictory. It means you say the right thing, but you want to do the other thing. It means you promote this, but you celebrate this. It's duplicity. It's in all of us. Let's just own. You know it's in your neighbor, but the truth is you know it's in you. You struggle with this. That's why I was intrigued by an article I'd read a while back, and I'll illustrate. 87% of the drinking ads from 2008 to 2010 carried drink responsibly somewhere in their ad. But it was most often contradicted by the actual visuals of the ad. That was the point of the 21-year-old UCLA student who essentially said, I'm not impressed with the little tagline, drink responsibly, because nobody actually pays attention to it. And it's obvious we're not supposed to. Or as one consumer rights advocate said, when you look at the sophistication of digital marketing and what the alcoholic companies do in creating these kinds of entire immersive fun environments, they know from the get-go they're overriding any responsibility message. I want to make sure you got that. They know from the get-go that they're putting the word drink responsibly, but all the imagery is saying drink irresponsibly. It's duplicitous. I'm not saying it in judgment. I'm saying it. That's the culture we live in. We tell our kids, do life responsibly, but we celebrate irresponsibility. It's just the world we live in. It's duplicitous. And that's why from King Solomon to Dr. Seuss, there needs to be today's kind of lesson. Look on the screen, Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are what, church? Destroyed. The unfaithful are what? Destroyed by their what? Duplicity. The unfaithful, the irresponsible are destroyed by their duplicity. They say one thing, do another. No, the right, responsible thing, but want to do the irresponsible. That kind of collision in you, if you don't resolve it, it'll take you down. And we keep pretending that all the fun is in the freedom of irresponsibility, but we know that's really what destroys your life. Is it really fun to destroy your life? Is it really fun to destroy a marriage? Is it really fun to destroy a family? Is it really fun to destroy the economics? Is it really fun to watch things break up and destroy and crash in your life? Of course not. But we're caught. And so now you realize that it is not a small dream to say, we hope to raise responsible adults Oh, it's a big dream and it's a big deal, because irresponsibility blows up your life and responsible builds up your life. And so now we can get to Dr. Seuss. And in a Seussical way, What Pet Should I Get sets up the teaching for two key thoughts. They're there in your teaching notes. We'll put them on the screen. It's to pick and stick. Here we go. Fill in the blank. Number one, be responsible to pick. Number two, be responsible to stick. Number one, be responsible to what? Pick. And number two, be responsible to what? Pick and stick. In week one, Pastor Sean gave us an overview of the teaching for the series Parenting Through Proverbs, and reminded us in this teaching that what you do with your kids is more important than what you do for your kids. And then he gave us an outline for the teaching, and here it is on the screen. Remind you where we've been: ages 1 to 5, and then 6 to 11, then 12 to 18, then 18 up. These are the things you might want to lean into primarily in those ages and stages, but it's developmental. Last week, Kevin Queen led us in discipline. You're not the ruler. There's a little Yertle the turtle in all of us. You might remember that teaching. And if you missed it, go back and get it. It's good teaching. And then discipline continues, and you add to it as kind of a primary between the ages of 6 and 11, where we are today, training. And your training, there are responsibilities, pick and stick. And then we'll go to the next two groups in the following weeks. In other words, this is progressive. First, you got this discipline line, and it continues. It doesn't end at age 5. It continues. But then you add this training, there is responsibility. Now, of course, while we're teaching directly to parents for children, we all know we're talking to adults. We know this whole subject is for all of us. In fact, you might already be aware from what's already been said today that part of the missing development in you is the irresponsibility that needs to move to responsible. You might have already figured out in the last 2 weeks that undisciplined and irresponsible is eating your lunch and costing you the dreams God has for you and you have for you. So while we're talking to parents for kids, we're talking to all of us. So let's get into the first. Responsible to pick. This takes us to what pet should I get? In other words, this pick and stick idea, it's probably already obvious. You don't even need me to teach it, and yet I'm going to. Train them to make decisions. So what you have, this whole training is train them to make decisions, that's pick, and then train them to follow through, that stick. We kind of get it, but what's easy to say is often hard to do. Isn't that true? Pick and stick, that's difficult. In fact, when we talk about this responsible to pick thing, what you're really training is between the ages of 6 and 11, you want to make sure your kids understand that wants have limits. Now, I didn't put that in your notes, but you can. Wants, it's in mine. Wants have limits. Here we go into Dr. Seuss. What pet should I get? See, we all know that pets are great trainers for our kids. What pet should I get? We want a pet. We want a pet. What kind of pet should we get? Dad said we could have one. Dad said he would pay. I went to the pet shop. I went there with Kay. And then they meet all sorts of cool creatures and then realize we have to make up our mind. It's so difficult to make up your mind. It reads on. Then I looked at Kay. I said, what will we do? I like all the pets that I see. So do you. We have to pick one and pick it out soon. And you come further and you just kind of hit the point. What if we took one of each kind of pet? In other words, what if we could have them all? What if there were no limits? Well, then our house would be full of the pets we would get. No, Dad would be mad. We can only have one. If we do not choose, we will end up with none. Wants have limits. This is what you're really trying to do. Trying to layer into the life of your child early, because if you don't learn this in the elementary years, it will undo you the rest of your life. Wants have limits. So we all have wants. I mean, well, with my kids, I'm honest, I've got wants, but unlimited is irresponsible. You got to know that unlimited is irresponsible. And so you not only train that wants have limits, but you have to go train that there is pressure in picking. And you don't remove that from your kids. There's pressure in picking. All would be fun, but you only get to pick what? One. Don't you hate that? I mean, I still hate that as an adult. I want more than one. But you only pick one. Jaden, who's 12 years old, we've been navigating this over the last 6 years with him. I don't know if your kids do this or if they ever did. I know I can do it, but Jada does. We get to the Lego store. He's a Lego boy, loves Legos. We get to the Lego store, and he always has four or five that he wants, and he narrows it down to never one. It's never narrowed down to one. It's always narrowed down to two or three. Have you noticed that? I mean, they're narrowed down. That's got to be two or three. And then he stands there, and I know exactly what he's doing. He's waiting for me to remove the pressure by buying two or three. Well, Dad, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I want that one and that one. And they go together. And it's kind of a set. And I'm going to, I really need it all. Well, how much money you got? I got this much. Well, it's not enough, is it? Not my, I don't have enough money, Dad. I mean, one would be awesome, but two would be like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious good. No, I'm not going to remove the pressure, son. You pick one. Pets are beautiful training grounds. That's why Seuss uses it. How many of you had a pet growing up? Just hands across campus. Yeah, look around. Look around at your campus. Put hands back up. Look around the campus. I mean, this is everybody. Because there's training. By the way, I don't know if it ever occurred to you, but God trained Adam in a pet shop. I mean, that's where the whole thing started. In the Garden of Eden. Gave him a whole bunch of pets, and he had to name them all. And then he gave them choices. You need this, you need that, but you can't. See, the gift of choice is great power and great kindness, but you have to make decisions and live with them. And there's responsible and irresponsible decisions. Adam had to name them all. You had to make decisions. What are you going to name them? Josh, he picked a turtle, okay? You can only pick one. He picked a turtle. And Josh didn't love making decisions when he was young, and we have to almost force decisions. You have to make a decision. There's pressure in it. And so I told him you have to name the turtle. We brought the turtle home, and he wouldn't name the turtle. I just don't know, Daddy, what to name. I gave him 2 weeks to name the turtle. After 2 weeks, what name did you come up with? I just don't know, Daddy. You have to make a decision. Pick it, stick it, and you know what? Julissa, my daughter, only daughter, remember, she told me, we were talking this week, she told me this story, she said, Dad, I remember what you did. I said, I don't remember all this with Sue. She said, you said, this. That's it, Josh, I'm done. You ready? You're going to give a name in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, name, and he said, Josh. I said, what? He said, Josh. You're Josh. Yeah, and so is the turtle. You can't name the turtle Josh. I named him after me. You can't do that. You said I could name him. Fine, it's Josh the turtle. Now we never knew who we were talking about. Josh needs to, you mean the turtle or me? Oh, kids. And you can only pick one. By the way, it's a powerful thing in life to figure out the power of picking one. I mean, we would keep it clear enough, one pet. Often, one sport. One sport at a time, so you can give yourself to it. One main hobby, that's it. You get one main hobby, you don't get five. Often, when you choose a toy, in that moment, it's one toy. You think about it. When you grow up, it's just one car. One college. One spouse. One God. This one is a pretty powerful thing. And it's a developmental process of training your kids how to choose. And by the way, while we're at it, I jot down in my notes what I believe. I believe you have to learn to live without something in order to be happy. So very carefully. You have to learn to live without something in order to be happy, because otherwise you get this lie idea that the only way to be happy is if you have everything and nobody has everything, which means nobody will ever be happy. See, most people never quit shopping after they pick, so they will never be happy with their pick. Did you get that? Most people make a pick and never quit shopping, and you get the point. If you make a pick, if you make a choice, and you never quit shopping, you'll never be happy with what you picked. If you're picking a prom dress, and you know that none of them are the perfect, because there's no such thing as perfect, so you have to give and take. And when you finally pick the prom dress and you bring it home, if you go back out and keep shopping, you'll never be happy with the pick you made. By the way, that's true in marriage. once you say I do, you never go back to shopping. Because when you keep shopping, you'll never be happy with your pick. By the way, that's true in business. If you can't stick with something long enough to get good at it, you never get good at anything. No, this is deep adult-sized stuff that you form early in the life of your child. You got to make decisions in the midst of your circumstances under pressure. Now, this week, Jaden brought what is one of the YouTube hottest this week videos, and we have laughed as a family. It's an illustration of making decisions under pressure in the midst of your circumstances, even if it's a zombie apocalypse. We had to cut it down a little bit, but enjoy.
You ready?
Of course I'm not ready. I don't want to do those.
Any final words, Millicent?
No.
Now she should not use a straw.
Yeah, I'm trying to use a straw.
If you aren't ready and ride this out, we'll let you know.
The Center for Disease Control in Washington, D.C. has issued a viral outbreak warning. State and local officials have reported cases of high fever, nausea, death, and even cannibalism. Stay in place until further notice.
What the heck? Did you...
Hey,
did you just get that emergency alert? Yes?
Can you get help right now? I got news from the emergency broadcast system. There's some sort of a weird virus outbreak in the
Okay, I'm pulling the driver right now.
We're not the U.S. Marines. Why can't we start going now?
Okay, there's Barry. He's got the Jeep. Don't move.
What? Hey, cannibals? Why is this zombies?
So we can only take one pet. Which pet? The cat or the dog?
The cat!
No! What did you do with the dog?
He's the worst! He's already dying! Just leave him!
Okay, I'll get the cat.
Katie!
Mom said we're leaving the dog.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, you're gonna need to defend yourself. I can't be with you the whole time, okay? Look, this is how you use it. Safety's right here. Pull this. Try it. I need you to see you do it, okay? You gotta hold it up if anything comes. Hold the weapon! Hold it up! No, hold it up! Hold it up, okay? You got it? Okay, I'll be right back.
What is this supposed to do for me? Give me a knife! How am I supposed to defend myself?
Do you think Costco, should we go to Costco first?
No, it's gonna be a bloodbath in there.
She's probably right. She's probably right. Wilson, what about Mexico?
Why do I have to be on this side?
Wilson, what if... Millicent, you know where we're gonna go? We're gonna go back home, and you're gonna get in bed, and you're gonna sleep for the next couple hours, because there's no zombie apocalypse. All right, we're gonna go let you get in bed.
Millicent, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
We love you.
Love you.
I'm gonna turn
a lot.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is a spectacular spoof. You can only pick what? One pet. By the way, out of curiosity, just have some fun across campuses. How many of you would have picked the cat and let the dog die? Just, I want to know the hands up. How many of you picked the dog and let the cat die? No more questions required. Still obvious there'll be no cats in heaven. All right, moving on. I promise you somebody's going to send an email. They always do. I can't believe you said that. No cats in heaven? That's so offensive. I'm off notes. Parenting, helping our kids grow up from age 6 to 11. I think we were somewhere on that. I love it when she says, how come I got to do all the deciding? So you got to help your kids make decisions. But the book stops once you've picked. And they should write book number two because it's not over once you pick. It's pick and stick. We all know as parents, once they get the pet, the big deal is care for the pet, right? Stick to your commitment. That's why the number two thought is right there. Not only responsible to pick, but responsible to what? Stick. That's right. You have to care for the pet you picked. In other words, every decision has duties. Every decision has duties. We ought to say that together. Every decision has duties. Again, everybody across campuses, every decision has duties. That's what you're trying to pour in life your kids. During the age of 6 to 12, you in the elementary years, you not only got discipline developing, but a sense of responsibility. Every decision has duties. You got to train your kids. It is irresponsible to make promises and not fulfill them. It's irresponsible. When you pick a pet, you make a promise. Of course, all of us are there with our kids, and we know, we as parents, we all know what's going to happen, don't we? Who's going to feel like they end up taking care of the pet all the time? Mom and dad. How many of you, when you were kids, you had pets, how many of you left your parents to do a whole lot of the taking care of the pet? Yeah, and they're trying, and how many of you as parents, you've had to do a good bit of that? But you know what? That battle right there is the battleground to develop and form your kids. Again, I was talking to my daughter, Julissa, and she's now out of college and married, and she's a teacher. And she says, Dad, I remember you making me, because we had, all our kids had pets. From the ages of 6 to 11, all our kids had pets. And we had the turtle, and we had the bunny, and we had the dog, and we had the cat, and we had the gerbil, and we had the fish. Everybody's got to start with goldfish because they die quick enough. And so we had other fish, and we had the bearded dragon and more turtles. It did the whole thing. And Julissa had her bunny, and we all know what happens. She's in love with the bunny for a while. And then she got bored with the bunny. Daddy, I remember you making me go out there and feed that bunny all the time. I said, of course I did, honey. Because I knew someday you'd have to get through college and stick with it. And you'd have to say I do and you have and stick with it. You become a teacher and it gets hard and you have to stick with it. And you're going to follow Jesus as an adult and you have to stick with it. See, that bunny was a lesson to be responsible to stick with whatever you pick. Don't remove that from the parenting process. And then we still laugh as a family. It's not funny to you, but it's funny to our family. It's the classical, you've heard me talk about it, do you want to live in a world? That's what my family hears. You just say that around my family and they start laughing. Because then daddy always goes into the big lesson. Do you, see, the moment they want to be irresponsible, I said, do you want to live in a world where we're all irresponsible? Because I'm telling you, if you get to be irresponsible, I get to be irresponsible. You get to lie, I get to lie. Remember, I promised you go to your friend's house? I lied. I didn't mean that. You get to be irresponsible, I get. You don't feed the pet, we don't feed you. I mean, it's just, there's kind of a system in this. You think I'm joking. I'm not. I always try to, you want to live in a world? And they go, oh, they just roll their eyes. No, daddy. I ask my kids, do you like to eat? Yes. They always say yes. Do you want to eat or do you want to starve? We want to eat. Well, then after we're done eating, you clean up the dishes. Because part of eating is the cleanup. Duties, responsibility. Life isn't just concierge for you. There is no world where you're irresponsible and everybody else is responsible. That world doesn't exist. It's a delusion. It's a fantasy. Probably that's why Proverbs chapter 10, if you want to just listen, you can. If you want to turn there, it's on page 636. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, he wrote, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son. See, he's talking about parenting, the son. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. In other words, if you want to eat, there's responsibility. And still after dinner, my kids would say, do we have to? Yes. And quit asking. Because if you're going to be irresponsible, can you imagine what it looks like when mom becomes irresponsible and dad becomes, that means daddy has to go to work and I don't feel like going to work. I have many days, most days, I don't feel like going to work. Can you imagine me saying, well, I don't feel like going to work. I'm not going to go. Can you imagine mom? I don't feel like going to the grocery store. I mean, it's going to be a rough household in about 2 weeks. I don't feel like washing your clothes. I mean, we're going to starve and stink. I mean, that just doesn't work. So do you want to live in that kind of world? No, Daddy. Do you want to live in a world where if you're going to be selfish, I get to be selfish? Do you want me to be selfish? Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't want me to be selfish. And then I give them those bad stories of growing up when my dad was. And where my dad was more about himself than his family. So, kid, you think I'm joking? Do you want to know what kind of world that looks like? Because that's a real world for a lot of people. Where mom and dad are more absorbed in themselves than they are their kids. Let me tell you what that kind of family feels like. You want to live in that world? Therefore, I institute the daddy tax. Every dessert you get, the first bite is mine. I learned that from Scripture. The tithe is the Lord's, the first fruits. Otherwise, you become selfish. You start thinking everything's yours. And your Heavenly Father provided everything. So I'm like, you know what? I should apply that. And I don't care about any other kind of food, but all desserts and candy bars and everything good. And you know why? Because the first bite is always the best. It's always the best bite. So my kids, they're marching in. They got their... Sometimes they try and sneak it. No, Daddy knows. Daddy knows. And they'll walk in with their ice cream. And I'll look it over. Where do they put the most chocolate, the most whipped cream, the most nuts? Jaden really loves the Double Dog Dare series that we were in January. And that Daddy made a commitment to get more fit from February to April 30th. Because now he walks in with his little ice cream bar. He said, oh, okay, daddy tax. Oh, hang on, you picked to get more fit. I guess you'll have to stick with that. I know child abuse is inappropriate, but occasionally it feels like there are moments when it's just right, when nothing else will do. But he's right. He's right. He needs his dad to demonstrate that if I pick, I'm going to stick too. Now, nobody's perfect in this, but this has to be the fight. Because it's a lie to tell my kids you can dream big and then not stick with it and still have a life. Can't lie to your kids. Well, now let me say that differently. You can. Jaden and I were watching AFV, America's Funniest Home Videos, and we found one way where it's a perfectly appropriate for a dad to lie to their kids. Check it out.
The penny. Okay. So, hold it right here. You're going to hold it the same place each time. Okay, so, 1,002, 1,003, 1,002. You hold out your hand and pin it off. Okay, one. Pretty good. Oh, so three. Took one try the first time, and then three the second time. Okay. I told you, it sticks on there. Come on, pull it off. You gotta get your hand harder. Hit it hard! No, put it off. Hit your head hard. Hit it hard. You can't touch the face. Hit the head hard. Just smack it.
Dude.
Just smack your head hard and hit it down this. The penny's gotta fall off.
That's a perfectly acceptable lie. That won't hurt your kid. But if you teach your kids to dream big and you never teach them to be responsible to those big dream promises, you lied to them. And that lie will mess up their lives. Because irresponsible blows up your life, and responsible builds up your life. And we live in a duplicitous, contradicting culture, and it's a battle for all of us. So pick and stick. As I turn this service over to the campus pastors, we want to pray those truths into our lives as parents for the sake of our kids, over the lives of our kids. You as parents, and frankly, us as a church, and many of you who lead out in the community. It's a powerful thing. But you may have noticed something else. You may have sensed with this teaching that it's more than about kids. So you might sense it as the campus pastors come up across campuses to pray over us, that you have some things you need to pray about. You've made some promises that you can drift from, that you need to keep. Maybe your promises to God, your promises in faith. Maybe in your finances, maybe promises to yourself, maybe promises to others. And this is as much a prayer for you as it is for anyone. So let's pray. And as we prepare to pray, you already see that the ushers have prepared. And just for this campus, we were praying. Many of you know that we gather and we pray. I pray every Saturday night before I teach on Sunday, and we gather and we spend a good bit of time in prayer over you, walking among the seats, praying for you, praying for the service, praying for the Spirit of God to move on us. These are serious issues as much as we smile and engage. And I sensed a prompt from God, so I'm going to honor it. So the offering is going to be received very quickly here. And as the ushers are coming, you can give and prepare to give, and you have the offering envelope there if that serves you. Many of you give online, easiest and best way to give. So the offering is going to be received, and I want to just put this in play. So while the offering is received, you honor God. If you're guests, you can put your response there. If you're jumping on in D12, that it's good to know that. But while the offering is received, let me talk to you. See if we can do two things at one time. Part of what I sensed last night in prayer is that while we want to pray for our kids, and we want to pray over our kids, and that might be the burden that you bear today, before we rush out of here, we're going to have a moment of prayer. And you might want to bear that before God and for the life of your kids and them being responsible kids. But what I sensed more is that we should have a prayer time here where maybe some of us have made promises to God. And we've drifted from them, and we know it. Maybe we've made some promises to others. Maybe we've made some promises to ourselves. And more than a glib, quick walk out, we need a moment before God, because we can't do this on our own. God is the promise-keeping God. And when we fail in promises, He will forgive us and restore us, but we need the strength of God. We need God's power in us to be faithful, to be self-controlled. And I know that this is not a usual close for us. But we're going to take that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcomed Here. We're going to let that play as part of this closing moment of worship. And I'm going to invite you to get honest to God. And maybe some of you just have to recommit and reset some things before God. And we don't usually talk in any way that the front becomes an altar. I know you can pray where you're seated, but I'm going to invite you. If God is pressing you, and I don't know what He wants to do in all this moment, I'm just going to honor it. And if it's just, you know, whatever He wants to do, whatever's important, whatever you need to settle with God, I'm going to encourage you to just come and use this front as almost an altar to pray. You can come and kneel, come and stand, whatever it's appropriate. I know you can pray where you're seated. So let's stand together. We're going to attend to this moment. And the words of this song is really an invitation from us to God in response to God's invitation to us. We don't win these things on our own. So the band is just going to begin to sing in a moment, but I'm going to pray for us. Father, we do need help as parents over our kids. Maybe we've got some challenging issues, and our burden is for our kids to be responsible, and we're going to just come before You and beg for the sake of our kids. Others of us, God, right now, when we say Holy Spirit, be among us here and let us experience the power of Your presence. We're saying, God, I made some promises to You and I got to get back to those. Maybe there's some moral decisions. Maybe there's some commitments we made to you and ourselves, and those need to be reset. Maybe there's some commitments we made to others. Maybe we're just getting soft in our marriage or soft in our parenting. Maybe we're getting soft in our ethics and business. Maybe just somewhere in our faith we made commitments to serve, and we're not following those. Maybe something in the core of our being for our education, the pursuit of our career. I don't know where it is, God. It's unique to everyone. Maybe we've made promises to you that nobody knows but us. But right now is a supernatural moment, in the most natural way for us to settle this before you and to just seek your help. And so, church, as the song plays, you can sing it, but these moments are just before the Lord. So consider this equivalent of an altar. You can come and go as you like. Let's bring it before the Lord.
There's nothing.